Okay, in any case, before I begin, I just wanted to clear up perhaps one misconception from last week. And that is that I had mentioned previously that the idea of the Mashiach ben Yosef, what initially started the difficulty or the tragedy in the sense of the Mashiach ben Yosef, is the fact that the idea of the pagam of Yosef, and I had mentioned that Yosef HaTzadik was a very great neshama, and as a result of this, any chet which Yosef would do to his neshama would be far greater than in general other people doing chatoim. In other words, depending on the kind of neshama that you are, obviously to do a sin, to do a chet, has far worse repercussions than somebody who has a different kind of neshama. It's not equal. It's always the same. An individual, for instance, who's who is an ambassador to a king, if an ambassador to a king does a fault or mistake or sin, whatever, against the king, of course it's far worse than if a common individual who lives in the community will do that also. It's the same idea. And I had mentioned previously that the chet of Yosef was the idea of the Eser Tipos, the 10 drops, and therefore that would mean that several things would have to happen in history in order to correct or forgive that kind of mishap. And I had mentioned that would mean that 10 neshamas, who are very righteous individuals, would die. This is really the way it would be forgiven. The second idea is that the Jews throughout all the generations, though every Jew that's killed by a goy is somehow corrects that error. And the third idea is that the Mashiach ben Yosef himself, after achieving Mashiachus, or becoming Mashiach, will eventually die at the hands of Armilus or Goig. Now I just wanted to correct the impression that when I say that any Misa, any Jew who dies at the hands of a goy would correct that error, doesn't mean that all Jews who die at the hands of a goy, the reason why they die at the hands of a goy is because of the chet of Yosef. But it means that if that part of the absolution of the chet of Yosef is included in the death of every Jew at the hands of a goy. In other words, a Jew could have been chayiv misa in general for his own chatoim, and even if he would have to die, perhaps it would not have to be at the hands of a goy or whatever. Or perhaps if a Jew would have to die at the hands of a goy, it would be in a different form. In other words, what I'm saying is that even though the death of a Jew at the hands of a goy may be caused to a great extent by his own averus, however, involved in that misa of the Jew at the hands of a goy, in some fashion, is also an atonement, a kapara of the chet also in terms of the Mashiach ben Yosef also. This is what I just want to correct that misconception, that your person shouldn't think that Jews have to die at the hands of a goy because of the chet of Yosef. If the Jew dies at the hands of a goy, part of that is also for the chet of Yosef as a kapara. This is the one of the possible misconceptions that I wanted to mention now. Also, now, to continue with the shiur, this is what I just wanted to mention before I go into the shiur itself. Now, where do we stand so far? We stand, I had mentioned last week, of the idea of Mashiach ben Yosef, the idea of Yosef HaTzadik, what his task was, what his pagam was. Also the idea of Yehuda, what the chet of Yehuda was, and where it's indicated in the pasuk. We now continue. We are now up to Har Sinai, Matan Torah. The Jews are now zeicha to receive the Torah. And until now, the main work of the Jews, spiritually, on an internal theme of history, is to undo or to correct or to masaken the chatoy, the chet of Adam Rishon. In other words, as a result of Adam Rishon's chet, and again, since he was so great, therefore the repercussions or the influence of his chet would be such would influence all men. That's how great his neshama was. Therefore, that correction, the increase, the damage that Adam Rishon did in the universe, in the Bria, in other words, where he further increased the amount of concealment of God's presence, and he internalized evil, the forces of evil in the physical substance of the universe, these things have to be removed. And I had indicated throughout the previous shurim how, what the exact evolution of trying to undo that original chet, how these things took place. In any case, we are now standing at the point of the Jews having left Egypt. And as a result of the sufferings of the Jews in Egypt, and also as a result of the sufferings of Moshe Rabbeinu, in terms of him going into Golus, which is what Moshe Rabbeinu did, he went into exile, as I had mentioned previously, then the idea of that Zoyhamo, which people know, means that kind of poison, which represents the poison which was given into the Bria. That means the internalization of evil into the universe. That's called Zoyhamo, the poison, in the physical substance of the Bria. That as a result of the sufferings of the Jews in Egypt, and that's the whole reason why they went to Egypt, as a result of the sufferings of Moshe Rabbeinu, and also actually as a result of the sufferings of Yosef HaTzadik in Mitzrayim and so on, the Jews now had completely been misaken the chet of Adam Rishon. They had completely undone or corrected the sin of Adam Rishon, so therefore the universe was now at the stage of what it was before Adam did the chet. Not only was that corrected, but also the damage that Yosef had done to his own neshama, in terms of him being Mashiach ben Yosef, that was also corrected. So we now have the universe at the stage where everything is corrected. And now we have the state of the universe is where the Bria is now the same as it was before Adam HaRishon did the Chet. This is where things now stand. As a result of this, the Yemei HaMashiach, the Messianic era, now should have started. When the Jews left Egypt, the Messianic era should have started then. This was the third attempt at starting the era. The first, if you recall, was Adam HaRishon. He failed. The second basic was of the ideas of Cain and Hevel, and they failed, or rather Cain failed. And the third attempt was now with Matan Torah, or rather Yetzias Mitzrayim. This is the third attempt to correct the ideas or the chet of Adam HaRishon. These are the three attempts that have been done until now, the three attempts which I have discussed. Therefore, the Messianic age should have been ushered in. Now, interestingly enough, if we look at Moshe Rabbeinu, we see that Moshe Rabbeinu was the Mashiach ben Yosef. Moshe Rabbeinu performed the functions that the Mashiach ben Yosef performs. Most people don't look at it that way. They don't look at Moshe Rabbeinu as a Mashiach. They just look at it, the individual who gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael and who took us out of the land, of course, through the power of the Rabbeinu Shlom. But the truth is, on the scale of spirituality, of Ruchnius, on the scale of looking at the concepts of Hashkofa, Moshe Rabbeinu was the first Mashiach. And the Geula, the redemption of Klal Yisrael, was the first Geula. And that's why we always refer to it as Geula Rishona. In fact, in Kiddush it says, Hine Gu'alti Eschem Achris Kereshis. Behold, the Rabbeinu Shem says that I will redeem you the last Geula like the first. And the first Geula refers to, of course, Moshe Rabbeinu. There are other Geulas, also redemptions. Most notably by Ezra. When Ezra came back and built the second Beis HaMikdash, that was also a Geula, because that ended basically the Shibud of Bavel. But that's for another time. In any case, Moshe Rabbeinu therefore was the first Mashiach. And as such, he performed that which the Mashiach ben Yosef has to perform, because the world had reached a point where there was a tikkun, there was a correction. It was now possible to bring in the Messianic age, the Yemei HaMashiach. Now, what did Moshe Rabbeinu perform that indicates he was Mashiach ben Yosef? Well, if you recall, in the previous shurim, I designated what the Mashiach ben Yosef does. The first idea is that the Mashiach ben Yosef gathers all the exiles and brings them to Eretz Israel. In other words, all the Jews living in all the lands, he gathers, including the Aseres HaShvatim, the 10 tribes, and he brings all of them back to Eretz Israel. The second task of the Mashiach ben Yosef is to provide a tremendous chalisha to Ra, where there's a tremendous weakening of the forces of evil. This is the second task of the Mashiach ben Yosef. And of course, the main force in that way is Edom, or Rome, as constituted in the Gemara. And today, of course, the equivalent would be Western civilization. The third task is with Mashiach, after bringing everybody to Eretz Israel, builds the Beis HaMikdash. This is the third idea. And the fourth idea is when he reveals the Or Rishon, which metaphorically means that he reveals Torah in a new light that was never seen before. And that light, as I previously explained, is the perception of the Ribbono Shel Olam throughout all creation, in terms of Chochmah, in terms of the actual perception of wisdom and science in the Bria. One then sees the Ribbono Shel Olam throughout all creation. This is the task of the Mashiach ben Yosef. Now, if we look at Moshe Rabbeinu, we can see that he literally performed all these tasks. He took the Yidden out of Mitzrayim, and he was going to bring them to Eretz Israel. First task. The second task is where he gave a tremendous chalisha, or tremendous weakening of evil. And that's what he did when he destroyed the Egyptians. Because Egypt, as you know, at that time, was one of the greatest nations of all at that time. Therefore, by destroying the power of Egypt, basically all the other nations would fall under. So therefore, there was a tremendous weakening of evil by destroying the power of Egypt. And that's the second thing that Moshe Rabbeinu did. The third thing that Moshe Rabbeinu did, of course, this is not in sequence or chronologically, this is merely just a matter of listing the tasks, was that he built the Mishkan in the Midbar. And the Mishkan, of course, is the Beis HaMikdash equivalent in the Midbar. And again, that's what the Mashiach ben Yosef has to do. And the fourth thing which Moshe Rabbeinu did, which of course again is one of the essential ideas of the Mashiach ben Yosef, is to reveal the Torah. To reveal Torah in such a way where man would perceive the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that of course Moshe Rabbeinu did, because Torah was revealed to Klal Yisrael. He gave Torah's Moshe. He gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael. Therefore we see that Moshe Rabbeinu was the Mashiach ben Yosef, because he literally performed all the tasks of the Mashiach ben Yosef. And the reason why he could be the Mashiach ben Yosef is because Klal Yisrael had brought the world to the original state of Adam HaRishon before the Chet. In other words, we begin to see that which happens in history doesn't happen by accident. It's a result of an internal theme that winds its way through events of history. And each event of history is rooted in that eternal theme. And that if we understand the internal theme, we understand all the events of history and why they happen. This is one of the most foremost lessons of the Shiurim, is that the way to understand Tanakh, as we shall see later, and the way to understand Jewish history and world history, or the events of man, while he's trying to do the purpose of God, is to understand Hashkofa, which is the design of the Bria. And that's exactly how one understands history. Because it's those internal principles or those internal themes that give rise to the historical events that we see. Now, what kind of Torah was Moshe Rabbeinu supposed to present? The truth is that the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to present to Klal Yisrael is the Torah of the Mashiach. And we see that in Merumas, we see that hinted in Chazal. And I had spoken about this way back. That Chazal say that when the Yidden said, Nase v'nishma, we will do and we will listen. In other words, Nase, we will do the mitzvahs, and then we will first try to understand them. The Medrash says that, or Chazal say that, the Yidden were given two crowns, two kesarim. one for Naseh and the other for Nishma. What that indicates, and then the Medrash says, as the Rabbanu Shlom spoke to them, the first two commandments was from the Rabbanu Shlom, and then they all died as a result of having been in such contact or such intimacy with the Rabbanu Shlom. They all died. So the Torah presented itself to Rabbanu Shlom and said, who are you going to give me? To a dead nation? So the Rabbanu Shlom said, I will resurrect them. And he did. He took from the dew of Tchias HaMesim and he resurrected Klal Yisrael. To understand these Chazal, we now can begin to understand them in terms of that internal theme, what they really mean. The Yidden received two kesarim, two kesers, two crowns. What that means really is that the Torah that they were given was not Betzuras HaChochmah, it was Betzuras HaKeser. What that means is that the Torah was not revealed at that point in terms of Chochmah, or where we can perceive the halachas of Torah, and we do not see how they are intimately tied all the way down to the Rabbanu Shlalom. We don't understand why tefillin, why there are two tefillins, why it has to be black, and so on, why there are 39 halachas. We only understand the halachas itself, but we do not understand the internal structure of the mitzvahs. So Torah Betzuras HaChochmah would mean Torah the way we have it now. That we understand Torah, but we do not understand what the underlying structure of this Torah is, the internal design. We don't understand. That internal design was going to be given by Moshe Rabbeinu. That's called Torah Betzuras HaKeser. The Yidden at that point had reached a level where they would have received the Torah Betzuras HaKeser, which means they would have perceived in all Torah the keser, the crown. What is the crown a symbol of? The king. When a person says, I see the crown, it means he sees the king, the royalty. Therefore, Torah Betzuras HaChochmah would mean that we perceive the external expressions of the internal design of Torah, the halachas and so on, but we don't perceive the keser, how these emanate from the Rabbanu Shlalom and why they're necessary in order to understand the Rabbanu Shlalom. Torah Betzuras HaKeser would mean that we are given a Torah where we understand the halachas and exactly how they reflect the king himself, the Rabbanu Shlalom himself. That's why it's called Betzuras HaKeser, the crown itself. Because the crown is always a symbol of the king himself. And of course, the essential idea to understand about the Rabbanu Shlalom is Yichud Mitziusa and Yichud Shlitosai. The idea that the Rabbanu Shlalom is the one in all existence, and of course, thereby the one in all power, the only being who can ultimately do everything, the source of all existence. So therefore, Klal Yisrael was given two kesarim, which means Torah Betzuras HaKeser, a halach, which means we can perceive all the way down to the ultimate source of the halach itself. And they would perceive two kesarim, which means the yichud of the Rabbanu Shlalom, the absolute unity of God as revealed in his power. He's the only force in all reality. And the fact that the Rabbanu Shlalom is the only being in all reality. Because the truth is, everything is supposed to reflect those two ideas. This is what is meant by the Medrash or the Chazal, that they received two kesarim. The keser means Torah, but a keser. And two kesarim is those two fundamental ideas about the yichud of the Rabbanu Shlalom, which is exactly what a yid is masig in Olam Haba, as I had mentioned previously many times. Now, also, when it says that the Jews all died and they were resurrected, what happens after Yemos HaMashiach? There's Tchias HaMesim, right? Which means everybody has to die again. Those who didn't die have to die for an hour or whatever, and then they're resurrected. Because everybody must go through that phenomenon called death. What happened in Matan Torah is the Yidden, everybody died. And then they were resurrected. That was the Tchias HaMesim. Because that was Yemos HaMashiach. Yemos HaMashiach was literally beginning. And therefore the Mis of the Eden was the event of Tchias HaMesim which was occurring. Now, therefore, everything was going beautiful. The Zoyama of Adam Rishon was corrected. The damage of Yosef was corrected. The Moshe Rabbeinu is the Mashiach ben Yosef. He was doing everything that the Mashiach has to do. What would transpire in the beginning of Yemos Mashiach was also happening. Terah b'tzuras hakesa, in the form of a crown, again, which means that the understanding is the understanding of, you see the Rabbeinu Shalom in the Torah. And even Tchias HaMesim occurred. We now can understand what Chazal mean. Of course, they don't say this, but what Chazal mean when they talk about different events happening. Now, as a result of that, the Sitra Achra, the Malchamovus, the Itzahara, whatever you want to call them, this was his last chance. Had the Yidden then, like the Chazal say, kept whatever mitzvahs they were given, that would have been the end of all Shivan Malchus, the Olam Voed. No nation would have ever subjugated the Yidden, besides the fact that Misa wouldn't have been anymore, and that would have been the Yemos HaMashiach. And that would have endured for a certain amount of time, and then you'd have Olam Haba. So the world as we know it would have ended quite a while back. Not as it is now. So the Sitra Achra, his last chance, and he realized that this is his last chance, and he's desperate. Because once that happens, once Yemos HaMashiach begins, then that's the end of the Sitra Achra. Then he is destroyed also. So the Sitra Achra, of course, he had a last chance to influence somehow the Yidden to do a chet. That's the only way he can maintain his power or his melucha. So he couldn't approach the Yidden because they were too great. The madrega that the Jews had reached was incredible. As it says in Tehillim, that it says that you are all bnei elyon, v'chulum bnei elyon atem. That all of you are bnei elyon. We say that in the Yom Shlishi, toward the end. That all the Yidden were an incredible madriga of ruchnius. And the truth is, the Sitra Achra couldn't influence the Jews at all to do a chet. So what did he do? He took himself to the heir of Rav. Moshe Rabbeinu took out, as it says in the Chumash, a mixed multitude. Besides the Yidden, he took out a mixed multitude of Egyptians that wanted to go with the Jews. You know, people who see where the opportunity really lies. And after witnessing all those 10 plagues, they realized where the truth lay, and they wanted to also become Gerim. Moshe Rabbeinu did not ask Rishus from the Rabbeinu Shalom. He did it on his own. He allowed the heir of Rav, who wanted to become Gerim, he allowed them to become Jews. However, they were not obviously the same as Yidden. They were Goyim that lately became Jews, which means that they had a far different mentality than the Yidden. So therefore, the Sitra Achra took himself to the heir of Rav, because they were much weaker spiritually than the Yidden. And he figured he's going to try to influence them. And the truth is, of course, he did influence them, because they were the ones who made the ego, not Klal Yisrael. It was the heir of Rav that decided to make an ego, a calf, and they made it. And as a result of that, as a result of the ego, profound things happen. So we see, therefore, that the Jews could not be influenced by the Sitra Achra. Instead, what happened was the heir of Rav was the one who was influenced by the Sitra Achra, and therefore they decided to make the ego. Now, what happened historically is that Moshe Rabbeinu did not come back, and they made a toast in Cheshbon. It was 40 days, and they counted wrong or whatever, and therefore they thought that Moshe Rabbeinu was dead. He wouldn't come back. That was the pretext that the Sitra Achra could enter people. You know, how else can you can't just say make an ego? But the point is that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't come back, so all of a sudden the Sitra Achra can try to convince people in their own minds that, wait a minute, Moshe Rabbeinu is dead. Who's going to take a stand at Israel now? So what the people needed was a symbolic representation of the Rabbeinu Shalom. They wanted an image, an ego. Not that they believed the ego was God. No. They didn't believe the ego was the Rabbeinu Shalom. But they wanted a symbolic representation, a physical representation of the Rabbeinu Shalom. And they could say that the Rabbeinu Shalom will rest upon this ego, and therefore the ego will take them to Eretz Yisrael, as symbolically representing the Rabbeinu Shalom. So even the heir of Rav's Kavona wasn't pure Avodah Zarah. Yidden don't, even the Erev doesn't immediately go from witnessing all those miracles to believing that the eagle is a god. Of course it's absurd. But still, what they did was a murdi chet, because you're not allowed to even do that. You can't make an image. Even if you think it's a representation of the Ribbono Shel Olam and worship that image or believe that that image is somehow going to aid you in getting you to Eretz Israel or whatever. So therefore, the chet was done by the Erev Rav, that they sought that an eagle would be the representation of the Ribbono Shel Olam in that sense. Now, as a result of that, the Ribbono Shel Olam said to Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was up in the mountain, that Lech raid, go down. Ki shiches amcha, because your people have corrupted themselves. And Chazal learned out, what do you mean your people? It doesn't say ha'om, the people corrupted themselves. Your people, referring to the heir of Rav, your people, because you're the one who took him out of Mitzrayim and made them geram. Not, wasn't because of the tzibur of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So what the Ribbono Shel Olam says is lech raid, go down from the Meshichus. Go down, because that's it. The Moshe Mashiach is over. It cannot be ushered in again. This is what the Ribbono Shel Olam is telling Moshe Rabbeinu. Lech rei, go down from your gedula, which means from the Meshichus of Mashiach ben Yosef, because your amcha, your nation, the heir of Rav, had corrupted, and as a result of this, the chet, of course, Klaius was held responsible, because they should have been prevented or whatever. A person is always held responsible for the backsliding of another individual. In any case, the first repercussion, again, of the chet of the eagle was that the Meshichus of Moshe Rabbeinu was removed. That's the union of Lech Reid. The second idea, which of course is far more devastating, and that's what it means by the Meshichus being removed, is that all the kilkulim, all the damages that were corrected, were now reinstated. So therefore, the Zoyam of the Nochosh was now back again, like it was previously. And the Pagam even of Yosef was also back again. All those Kilkulim that happened were destroyed because of the eagle. There was also a third idea which happened, and we see it especially reflected later on in history, is that because of the fact that the eagle was made, this gave the Sitra Achra a potential future power to influence Jews whenever the kilkul is about to be removed. In other words, if there's a future point down the road where again this whole kilkul of Zoyama was about to be removed and so on, and man again would be near experiencing the Meshichus, the Emosa Mashiach, the Sitra Achra has the power to again try to influence the Jews to destroy their chance of getting Yemosa Mashiach, number one. And he also, of course, has, and thereby remaining in power. And he has a special power of doing this through an eagle itself. In other words, again, that he can influence again the Yidden or whatever in some way to make an eagle again to represent the Ribbono Shel Olam, thereby again destroying a next attempt at being Masak in that Chet, and therefore of Adam Rishon, and therefore bringing the Bria back to the time the way it was by Adam Rishon before the Chet. And therefore that would be ushered in Yemei HaMashiach. So therefore again, we are now at the third attempt has now of course failed, in the sense that the eagle has been made, and the Yemei HaMashiach is not going to be ushered in, and therefore it's going to, the attempt at producing or being masakin the new chet again because of the eagle would have to come at a future time. Therefore, that's what Chazal mean, that the kesorim, the crowns, were taken away. It means now Torah would be given not b'tzuras ha-keseh, but b'tzuras ha-chochmah, where you would realize the mitzvahs, but you would not understand the true depths, the true internal structure of what the mitzvahs really mean. That was taken away, because that is only revealed by the Mashiach. And unfortunately, this is what Klal Yisrael lost. They lost the Torah in the form of a crown, and now it's in the form of wisdom, meaning that man merely has to think and derive, and he doesn't see the Keser at all. He can just derive by reasoning, which is what Chochmah is, up to a certain point. This is what the Eden lost. And of course, everything became reinstated. The Chet of Adam Rishon and the Pergamum, again, were all back to what originally was. Now, when do we find the next Zman that the Tikkun was about to be fulfilled? And we're going through Klal Yisrael and trying to see the significant event of Yemos HaMashiach about to be ushered in, right? This is what we're doing now. When was the next attempt at the Tikkun, or when the Tikkun of Adam Rishon and so on was almost corrected? And Klal Yisrael again stood at that point of a test. Had they Menatzech, that would have been Yemos HaMashiach. And if not, what would happen? Back to the original Kilkel. Same thing again. When is the next logical time? The next Zman we find is at the time of Dovr HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech, Rechavim and Yerovim. Because there is the beginning of the nation of Klal Yisrael. What does that mean? We find that at that point, several ideas or several events had occurred, which now could usher in, again, another attempt at Yemos HaMashiach. First of all Jews were in Eretz Yisrael, right? All Jews now were in Eretz Yisrael. The second idea is that Eretz Yisrael was complete in terms of its boundaries. Dovr HaMelech had completed the boundaries. He had conquered a great deal of land which Yehoshua had left. And Eretz Yisrael was now complete in terms of physically. So you had all the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. And the second thing is you had all the Eretz Yisrael that the Mashiach would rule was, again, complete. Because Dovr HaMelech had ensured that. He had kibush, he had conquered Eretz Yisrael. So this was the second thing, second, again, condition, which is ready for the Mashiach. Again, the Malchus Beis Dovid was established. Dovr HaMelech established the Malchus Beis Dovid, which is, of course, is going to, from which the Mashiach Ben Dovid is going to derive from. So you now had kingship in Klal Yisrael. Malchus Beis Dovid was now established, so you could begin thinking in terms of Yemos HaMashiach. The next idea is that all nations were subjugated under Shlomo. Chazal say that the time of Shlomo was an incredible time for Klal Yisrael, in that there was a tremendous peace, a true peace for Klal Yisrael, and also all nations paid tribute to Shlomo HaMelech. It was the first and really only time that Klal Yisrael had such a shalom, such a peace. And all the nations were subjugated in the sense that they all paid tribute, as the Nach clearly says, to Shlomo HaMelech. So you had the shibud of nations under Klal Yisrael. The next idea was that Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash. Right? Dovr HaMelech didn't build the Beis HaMikdash. Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash. So here, look what you have. You have all the Eden in Klal Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is fully the way it should be. You have Malchus Beis Dovid already there. You have all the nations subjugated under Shlomo and a tremendous peace throughout the land. And you have the Beis HaMikdash built. In addition to that, the Jews suffered also what was Masakin, again, was the 40 years in the Midbar. Again, they went through 40 years of suffering. And also the sufferings of the Jews under the Pelishtim, the peoples, until you got to Shlomo HaMelech. So again, we now find the Eden at a point where, again, the Chet of Adam Rishon is about to be wiped clean. They're right at that point. The only thing that was missing was a Mashiach ben Yosef that would rule with Shlomo HaMelech, the Mashiach ben David. That's the only thing missing. Which means that the Or Rishon, again, that Torah B'tzuras HaKeser, which the Mashiach ben Yosef would have to reveal, because that's his main task, is missing. And the one who filled that task was Yerovim ben Nevat. Yerovim ben Nevat was from Ephraim, the tribe of Ephraim, as it says in Melachim Aleph. And Yerovim ben Nevat was literally designated to be the Mashiach ben Yosef. Okay, so we now, and the one who will be the Mashiach ben David is Rechavam, Shlomo's son. This is the way it would come about. That Rechavim would be the Mashiach ben David, literally, Malchus beis David, and the one who would be the Mashiach ben Yosef is Yerovam ben Nevat. This was the next attempt at bringing in the Emes HaMashiach. In any case, we are now at the attempt of the fourth attempt. Remember, Adam Rishon was the first, Kain Mehel was the second, Matan Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu was the third. We're now at the fourth attempt where we're trying to usher in the Emes HaMashiach. And so far, it just is not working. Okay, now, as I proceed, then you begin to see that Tanakh, especially the Nach, the way it really should be taught, of course, is as an extension or as an expression of Hashkofa. Because then one really understands what Tanakh is all about. Because Nach, the Nevi'im and Ksuvim, is nothing more than the Jewish history part of the world history. But this is really an expression of what is happening in the internal design. That's the way Nach really should be taught. And what I'm going to do now is talk about the fourth attempt, Yerovam, and Rechavam, and Shlomo, and Dov, and so on. And then I'm going to go into Tanakh with you and show you how the psukim themselves indicate what is the real internal theme. But of course, unfortunately, most people miss that. And also as a result of this, you will also see how Chazal in Gemara and Medrash actually allude to what the real internal theme is, but they don't say it expressly. Therefore, again, most people don't really understand. That's what's meant by the fact that Chazal clothes the Sisrei Torah, the secrets of the Torah, in their own way, in Agadata. We see that Agadata in the Gemara is really a revelation of Sisrei Torah, of the secrets of Torah, of the secrets in terms of what really is transpiring through history. But Chazal clothed it in such a way where it has one understanding, but if one understands Hashkofa, one understands it in a different way. So both things will become apparent. How to really learn Tanakh in terms of the internal design as expressed by Hashkofa, and how to really understand Chazal as they talk in the Gemara, through the Agadata, as they talk in the Gemara. How what they say really has an internal meaning to it. Both of these ideas will become clear as we proceed. Now, in order to fully understand the idea of Yerovam, Rechavam, and Shlomo and David, and what happened to Klal Yisrael, we must understand, I have to go back and give you a certain introduction, which I had mentioned previously, except now I'm going to elaborate more, on the concept of the Mashichus, the Messiah himself, to look at the personality himself. Now, I had mentioned previously, some of this is a review of what I had mentioned long time back, about 10 shurim ago, 12 shurim ago. But I'm going to bring it down again and also add certain information. And that'll clearly give you an understanding of what's happening every time there's a pagam, a damage, and what's going on in terms of the Mashiach and so on. Now, I had mentioned previously that the neshama of an individual consists of five parts. The neshama is both a collective term and also an individual term. In other words, the soul of man, of all human beings, basically, but basically we're talking about Yidden, consists of a nefesh, a ruach, a neshama, a chaya, and a yechida. There it is, five parts. Neshama refers to all of the parts, and it also refers to the specific part called neshama. So as I mentioned, it's a collective term plus an individual term. So again, the parts of the neshama are, as a collective term, the nefesh, the ruach, the neshama, the chaya, and yechida. Five different parts. That's the first thing you must understand. The second thing to understand is that the Yechido is the greatest of all the parts, the holiest of all the parts, and it basically hovers over the head. It's not part of the body, it hovers over the head. The Yechido is the crown of every individual. Now, what is the purpose of the Yechido and why is it called the Yechido? and therefore why is it so great? Is because the Yechidah is that part of the soul of man that if he gets it, in other words, if he's in contact with his Yechidah, he is Masig Yechudoy of the Ribbono Shel. He perceived the absolute unity of God. That is the vehicle, or that is the part of him that if it connects back into the Ribbono Shel, he is Masig Yechud of the Ribbono Shel. That's why it's called Yechidah. And as such, that is the part of man that is closest to the Ribbono Shel. Okay? Therefore, the Yechidah is disconnected from an individual. Because the Yechidah is part of the individual, but it's disconnected from the self. Look at it that way. He's not, just like a man has an unconscious. In other words, he's not connected with part of his conscious mind, which is unconscious. Man has several forms of consciousness, okay? A man also is connected with certain aspects of his soul, neshama, and certain aspects he's not connected. But it's still part of the self, the soul. If he gets connected, then it's like a man perceiving everything in his unconscious. Now, all of a sudden he's aware of things he never knew, whatever the unconscious has. The same idea. If he gets connected to the Yechidah, then he mamish is masig the Yichud of the Ribbono Shel Olam. This is what the Yechidah, why it's called the Yechidah, because it is the vehicle, the instrument, by which a man is masig the Ribbono Shel Olam, and Yechidah is really the part of the self, except he's not in awareness of that self, just like the idea of conscious and unconscious, where man is not aware of all the aspects of what exists in his mind. It's unconscious. It's the same idea. Perhaps even that the idea of an unconscious metaphorically represents that a man does not know all the ideas in his mind. Just like in the psychological sphere, a man knows what's in his mind, but there's a part of his mind that he's unaware of. Metaphorically, that also means that a man is not aware spiritually of many things. And that's the idea that there's Yechidah that separates from the man, even though it's part of the self. A man is not privy to the knowledge that Yechidah would give him. And that is the Hasogas Yechudoy. And that's why it's called Yechidah. Now, it is that Yechidah which individuals reach or come in contact in Yemos HaMashiach. Okay? And certainly in Olam Haba, they come in contact with all of it, much greater. But again, that is the instant by which a man is Masig Yechudoy. Obviously, now you begin to perceive why it's the greatest aspects of self. Because when a person has that, then he is completely in contact with all areas of self. That which all Eastern religions is trying to do, where a person should come in contact with all aspects of the self, that is the Yechidah, where a person comes in contact with all aspects of the self. That's the idea of Yechidah. Now, the next important idea is that Adam Rishon also had a Yechidah, obviously. When Adam Rishon, if he had not done the Chet, if he had done the Mitzvah, then he would have received the Yechidah, which had not descended yet, because that only descends after you're worthy. He would have received the Yechidah, and he would have been Masig the Yichud of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that would have ushered in Yemos HaMashiach. In other words, Adam Rishon would have been the Mashiach, because he would have attached himself to his Yechidah, and he would have been Masig Yechudoy, the absolute unity of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he would have ushered that perception of God throughout all creation. He would have been the Mashiach, and he would have been Magala Yechudoy throughout the Bria. And he would have done that had he done the Mitzvah and gotten his Yechidah. However, because Adam Rishon did not do the Mitzvah, instead, he did the Chet, right? Therefore, the Yechidah did not descend to Adam Rishon. Therefore, the Pagam or the Kilkul that was experienced by Adam Rishon went throughout his soul, but not to that part of his soul called the Yechidah. In other words, the Yechidah of Adam Rishon is the only aspect in all creation, the only spiritual entity in all creation that was never damaged by the Chet of Adam Rishon. It's an important idea to remember. Therefore, well, I should say, in any case, as a result of the Chet, he did not realize the Yechidah, therefore, the Yechidah never came down to this earth, and it was not damaged at all. Now, the idea also, the next idea to understand is that the Yechidah itself splits. One half goes to the Mashiach ben Yosef, and the other half goes to the Mashiach ben David. Because if you recall, the instrument by which an individual realizes the perception of God and is able to reveal that to the universe is his Yechida. The Yechida of Adam HaRishon, if it descends to this earth, will descend on the two Mashiachim, whose job is to reveal the unity of the Ribbono Shel Olam throughout the Bria. As it says, on that day, God and His name will be one. That's the whole purpose of the Mashiach, both Mashiachim. Therefore, the two individuals who become Mashiach, Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David, they are crowned by the Yechid of Adam Rishon. Therefore, they are now able to do the job of Mashiach, and that is to Megali Yechudoi throughout the Bria. I'm going to have to stop here and continue next week. Now, as I had mentioned last week, that the neshama of an Adam, the neshama of an individual, has five parts. I had mentioned that the word neshama is both a collective term and also an individual term. In other words, the neshama of an individual has five parts. And this is very important to understand, especially when we begin to understand the ideas of Mashiach. And these fundamental ideas will actually serve you for all other kinds of studies in Hashkofa. As I had mentioned, the neshama consists of five parts. The nefesh, ruach, neshama, there you are, neshama as an individual part, chaya yechida. Again, nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya and yechida. That's five different chalokim to the neshama, which means the entire five. Now, the greatest of all the chalokim of the neshama is the yechida. Yechida sort of like means the unit, the singular entity. And the reason why the Yechida is so great, because it is the shirish of the neshama. What does that mean? A person, it's very important for a person to understand, is that the idea of self is far larger than the idea of what you recognize or what you are aware of. When a person gets his Yechida, which is absent from him initially, then what he does is he's masig yechudoi of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's why it's called yechida. Because it is the vehicle, it is the instrument by which an individual comes in contact with the true source of his own existence, his own root, and that is God. Because the Ribbono Shel Olam is the root of all beings. Therefore, when a person receives the aspect of self, the spiritual self, called yechida, which is the one of the chalokim of the neshama, then he is automatically masig yechudoi, or the absolute unity of the Ribbono Shel Olam, which means that he is masig the Ribbono Shel Olam as his shirish. That's why it's called yechida. As such, it is the greatest chelik of all, because it is the bridge which where an individual finally understands and comprehends the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the link between an Adam and the Ribbono Shel Olam. When a person gets the yechida, he achieves a state called dveikus, which is clinging. Clinging means, of course, that you are masig the Ribbono Shel Olam in a way that, of course, you were never masig. You comprehend the Ribbono Shel Olam in a way that you never comprehended the Ribbono Shel Olam before. As such, the Yechida is the crown, the Kesa, the Atora. The Yechida of the Neshama is the crown, the Atora of the Neshama. And as such also, the Yechida is the Shirish of the Neshama. The root of the neshama is the yechida, and that root is what bridges the gap to the ultimate root, which is the Ribbono Shel Olam. So that is the idea of the five chalokim of the neshama, the idea of yechida as an instrument by which a person is masig the Ribbono Shel Olam, and the idea that the yechida, which is the crown of the atara, is the greatest of the chalokim of the neshama, and it's the root of the neshama. It's literally the link between God and man. Literally. Now, the Yechida is that chelik of the neshama which a person will get in the Yemos HaMashiach and in Olam Haba. A person is not in contact with that area of self, the spiritual self, that chelik, is not in contact at the present time. The person gets the Yechida and thereby is masig the Yichud of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the absolute unity of God, in the Yemoisa Mashiach, because it says, "V'hoyu Hashem l'melech ha'kol ha'aretz, v'yom ahu yeh Hashem echad u'shmoy echad." That's when you realize the absolute unity of God. On that day, He and His name will be one. That's what it means. And in Olam Haba, that's when you get the full Yechida. In a sense that which you do not get in Yemoisa Mashiach. These are the ideas of the Yechida. Now, incidentally, I just want to mention that the human being is fashioned exactly the way he is spiritually. In other words, the self of a person is far greater than the awareness of a person. Everybody is aware, is conscious. So you're aware of certain different things going on. Different stimuli, the outer environment, that you're all sitting around the table and so on. So everybody thinks that that is all that is in the self. But the truth is that there's such a thing called the unconscious of an individual, which means that there's another aspect of self, it's part of you, where if you get in contact with that unconscious, then you are aware of things which you are not aware of right now. If a person is able to tap into his unconscious mind, then what happens is that he becomes aware of things which right now he is not aware of. Okay, so we see that even on the physical plane, in psychological, there's a psychological entity called the unconscious. So we see the idea that man's self is far greater than the amount that he thinks of. That the truth is that a person can be aware of something, but there's a part of self which is aware of much more. On that same level as the Yechida, in a ruchnistic sense, that you think that you're aware of certain spiritualities, certain ideas, but there's a greater aspect of each person, and that's his own Yechida, or her own Yechida, whatever. And that is hidden from the person because it's not connected to the person as yet. When that aspect of self, and that's literally part of yourself, when you become in contact with that, then all of a sudden you're masig new information, new asagas. And that asaga is the yichud of the Rabbeinu Shlomo. That's the connecting link. So as I pointed out, you see the resemblance between physical reality and ruchnis, the counterpart, and how one literally mirrors what goes on in the other. In any case, this is the idea of the Neshama, the five halakim, the Yechida, and a physical resemblance in terms of psychological apparatus and processes. Now, Adam Rishon, as I had mentioned previously, had a mitzvah to do. Had he done that mitzvah, what would have happened? Then the Yechida of Adam Rishon, because he also has Yechida, would have become connected fully with Adam. And as a result of, he would have been Masig Yehudai. He would have seen the Rabbeinu Shlom as the ultimate source of all being, and not been fooled by the Ra or the Nochash, the Nochash which represented evil, which was trying to convince Adam that he was also an independent being, as I had mentioned previously. But in any case, he would have gotten his Yechida, the Yechida of Adam Rishon, and he would have been the Mashiach. Adam Rishon would be the Mashiach. And that's all. Now, the entire world was only destined for those couple of hours. Had Adam Rishon withstood the temptations of the Nochash for the several hours before Shabbos, then he would have received his Yechida on Shabbos, and that's it. Shabbos would usher in the Yemoisa Mashiach, and eventually Olam Haba. Adam Rishon, of course, did not do that. He was Choyte. Therefore, the Yechida severed from him and disconnected. And as a result of that, not only was Adam not Masig, the true source of all being, but of course the universe changed, as I had mentioned several times previously, where the illusion of causality now happened in the Bria, where man now thinks that he is a true cause of things that goes on. That's the idea of Bezeh Sefecha Teich Alechem, which I had mentioned previously. In any case, instead of Yehudoi or Gil Yehudoi happening, the revelation of the unity of the Rabbeinu Shlomo, which would have happened had Adam done the mitzvah, and he would have realized it through the instrument of his Yechida, instead there was Hesdi Yehudoi, the concealment of the ultimate unity of the Rabbeinu Shlomo, where man now saw himself as equal to the Rabbeinu Shlomo. Therefore, the Yechida, as I mentioned, flew away, in a sense that disconnected from Adam. And the Yechida is the only neshama in all creation that was never nivgam by his chet. It was never damaged by the sin of Adam Rishon, because it had not really descended on Adam. Everything else was in Adam. So that chelik, yechid of Adam Rishon, was never nivgam by Adam Rishon. That's a very important idea to understand. Now, the yechid of Adam Rishon is what's called the Nishmas Mashiach. That is the Mashiach. That is a certain... In other words, anybody who gets the Yechidah becomes the Mashiach. That's the crown. That's the Atorah, the Keser. The Nishmas Mashiach is the Yechidah of Adam Rishon. And as I had mentioned previously, the Yechidah then split into two parts. One would be destined to go on to the Mashiach ben Yosef, and the other part would go on to the Mashiach ben David. It's a split. So therefore, both would be crowned literally kings. Both are kings. As it says in Nach, V'hoyu le'achodim v'yodecho, and they shall be as one in your hands. It's referring to the Mashiach ben Yosef, the Mashiach ben David. That both are kings, because both get the Yechidah. It splits. And I had mentioned previously why there has to be a Mashiach ben Yosef and why there has to be a Mashiach ben David. In any case, after the fact, they both get the Yechidah, and therefore that is the Nishmas Mashiach, and they are crowned in that sense. Therefore, as such, what can the Mashiach do as a result of it? The individual who gets the Yechidah is Masig Yehuda, just like Adam Rishon would have been Masig. And that's exactly what the task of the Mashiach is. The tasks of the Mashiach is to bring down the revelation of the unity of the Ribbono Shel Olam throughout the entire Bria, as I had mentioned previously. And thereby, once he is Masig Yehudai, then he gives it out to all the entire world, and everybody's Masig Yehudai. So now is the Mashiachin, Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef, especially the Mashiach ben Yosef, is the one that is Masig the unity of God throughout all Chochmas, and gives that over to the entire Bria. He becomes the conduit, the connection between the Ribbono Shel Olam and the Bria, just like the Torah passed through Moshe Rabbeinu. And I had mentioned previously that Moshe Rabbeinu was the Mashiach ben Yosef, which was the attempt to bring back the world back to the Geula at that time. Tikkun. But in any case, just like Moshe Rabbeinu was the conduit between Klal Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam, the same idea as Mashiach. Mashiach is the conduit between the Ribbono Shel Olam and Klal Yisrael. And the Mashiach is able to do that, the Mashiachin, Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef, of course, by the fact that they have the Yechidah. That's how they can understand the entire idea of the true nature of reality. Now that is equal, as I had mentioned previously, to what's called the Or Rishon. That in the beginning, the Ribbono Shel Olam, there was an Or that lit up the universe, and then Ribbono Shel Olam took that away, and he substituted the light of the sun and the moon. The light of the sun and the moon, of course, light is a metaphor, because of light you can perceive reality, right? You shut the switch, you can't see anything. You don't see light. Light is a vehicle by which you perceive reality. The Or on that first day was that kind of a light where a person would perceive reality to its bottom shirish, its source. And I mentioned previously, that's why it says Yom Echad, the day of one. That on that day, you would see that there is no such thing as plurality of beings, that there is only one, the Ribbono Shel Olam, and you will be able to see how everything in the Bria ultimately goes right down into the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's why it says Yom Echad instead of Yom Rishon, the day of one. That is the Or Rishon that was hidden from the Bria. And that Or Rishon is what the Mashiachin are supposed to be Megala in Yom Yisrael Mashiach. The idea where you actually see the source of all existence, you understand all the ideas, all the scientific laws, all the physical phenomena, every halacha, why exactly it is that way. You understand Jewish history, world history, why everything had to go that way, and how everything ultimately goes down into the idea of the absolute unity of the Ribbono Shel Olam. In any case, so therefore the Mashiachin, what makes them the Mashiach is that Yechid of Adam Rishon, which splits, and it gives them the ability to understand the entire Or Rishon, or the entire understanding of the Bria, how it relates to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now, the next question is, the next question to understand, once we understand the ideas of the neshama, we understand Adam, his yechida, and it's split into two and so on, and what the yechida does for the Mashiach. The idea, next idea is, who does the yechida descend upon? Remember, the yechida is the Nishmas Mashiach, which was the yechida of Adam HaRishon. But who does the yechida of Adam HaRishon descend on? Because yechida is only one part of a neshama. What is the Mashiach himself that he gets this yechida, this crown? What does he consist of in spiritual terms? In other words, the Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef, who are they spiritually? How do we understand it? That they get this yechida. This is the next idea we have to understand. Everything I'm telling you is necessary to understand what goes on with Yerovam and Shlomo Melech and Dovr Melech and so on. Now, what's important to understand is that the neshama of the individual who gets the neshama of the Mashiach, we're now talking about two things now. The neshama of the individual who gets the neshama of the Mashiach, which is the Yechida, right? That means it's an individual who gets the Yechida. But his neshama is different than the Yechida. It's not the Yechida. It's a specific individual, spiritually, which I'll go into. He is called the Keli, the vessel on which the Yechida goes on. In other words, it's like an individual, and he's crowned. And the crown happens to be the Yechida of Adam Rishon. So the question is, who are these individuals in a Ruchnistiger understanding who get the Yechida of Adam HaRishon? Now, they are called the Kelim, the Keli, the vessel which contains the Yechida. It's called also the individuals. Or the, when I talk now about the Mashiachim, I talk about both, Ben David and Ben Yosef. And I'm going to explain why they called Ben Yosef, why Ben David, why don't we call Mashiach Ben Yehuda. I'm going to go into all these fundamental understanding of what's going on in the spiritual beings of the Mashiachim. And then we'll go back into reality in the sense of this world, and we'll go again, we'll see again into Jewish history, where was the next attempt of the Mashiachim to appear. This is what I'm doing. Now, so therefore, the neshama of the individual, the Mashiach, either Ben Yosef or Ben David, either one, that neshama is the keli that accepts or receives the yechid of Adam, and therefore he becomes Mashiach. He's also called a branch, an onof, a branch that receives the yechidah, which is the root. He referred to either one. The neshama of the individual that receives the yechidah is either a keli or an onof, referred to either way. But as such, they are vehicles which contain or carry the Yechida. Now, in order to understand the idea of Mashiach, the Neshama, not of the Mashiach, but the Neshama of the Keli, let's differentiate it, okay, of those individuals who receive the Yechida, let me give you a short example. Imagine there's a plot of land, okay, and on this plot you have many trees. Okay, so you've got a nice plot of land, let's say 1 square mile, an orchard, an orchard. And on this plot of land, you have many trees, and each one has different roots. Each tree has its own root. And all trees are embedded on this land. Okay, so we see that each tree is individual, right? They're all different from each other. Each one has their own roots. And they are tied, all of them, to the land. Okay, so you've got the land, you've got the tree and its own root. And all trees are tied to the land. Okay, that's the example that I want to use to illustrate. There is a certain shirish root, there's a certain root which is called the shirish haklali. It's a root. It's an ishama if you want to look at it. But let's just look at it as a spiritual entity. That entity gives rise to other entities that emanate from it. Each one is related back to the original Shirish HaKloli. It gives rise to Shirish Prati, individual roots. Okay? The land itself is equal to the Shirish HaKloli, the main Shirish. The individual trees with their own roots is the Shirish HaPrati, are those things which emanate from that land. It's like a fire. You have fire, and then you have sparks flying off the fire. The fire is the main body, and the sparks flying off this fire are emanations of that fire. But they're all part of that fire. They all have the identity of that fire. It's the same idea. It's like a parent have children. The children emanate from the parents, right? So the root or the source of these children are the parents, right? And they all somehow are identical in some fashion to the parents because they come from the same genes. It's the same idea. There is a certain thing called a shirish. And that shirish gives rise to other shirashim. Now, the original shirish was Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef. He was the one who had the shirish, mamish, the land itself. Of that, it was that shirish could receive the yechida of Adam Rishon. That land, that shirish. That was the soul of Yosef HaTzadik. So therefore, Yosef is what's called a shirish, literally. In other words, Yosef is that kind of neshama that is mukhon, that is prepared because of its greatness or whatever, or its peculiar stance in terms of it in the Ribbono Shel Olam, its position, that it can receive the yechida. Not everybody can receive the yechida, because the neshama has to be somehow related to the yechida in very fundamental ways. However, Yosef HaTzadik was the shirish of the Mashiach in the sense that he was the individual that could receive the Yechidah had it descended, and it didn't, but he could have received the Yechidah. Now, the shirish of Yosef, that is Yosef, breaks up into many, many different shroshim, and they all relate to the original shirish, which is Yosef. And each shirish that breaks up enters a different person, and all these different people, each one person comes down in each generation. So it comes out that in every generation, there is one individual who has a shirish of the shirish of Yosef. Okay, that's how it works. And that individual who has that shirish, remember it's like the land and trees, there are many trees. Each generation has one tree. And that tree is its tree plus its root. But that emanates from the ground. The same idea. Through each generation, there's an individual who has the neshama, and the shirish of that neshama emanates from the shirish of Yosef. This is the idea of that which happens throughout the generations. Therefore, each individual is called a Mashiach ben Yosef. Why? Because the individual who receives the Yechida, which can be any one of these Shrashim, to any generation that comes that does come down, each individual, each neshama that receives the Mashichus, which is the neshama of the Mashiach, which is the Yechida, each one of them is a Ben Yosef. Each one is an emanation of Yosef HaTzadik. Therefore, he's called Mashiach Ben Yosef. That's what's called Ben Yosef. And only Yosef, which is the stock, the main body of the tree, or whatever, or any of its emanations, other shroshim, mini shroshim that emanate, only they can receive the yechida that's destined to go on the Mashiach Ben Yosef. In the same sense, you have Yehuda. Yehuda was the shirish, the land called Mashiach Ben David. That was the major stock. And that shirish could receive the yechida which was destined to go on the Mashiach Ben David. As such, the emanations of that shirish, which was Yehuda, again went down into each generation. Each emanation, each shirish prati, specific shirish, it presents itself in an individual, and each of these individuals then come down one after the other through the generations. That's what's meant when it says that the Mashiach can come in any generation. Because in each generation, the Ribbono Shel Olam makes sure that there's a shirish of the Mashiach ben Yosef, there's an individual who is a shirish of the original shirish, and he can be Mashiach ben Yosef. And there's a shirish of the Mashiach ben Yehuda, or ben David as we know him, which means that the Yechida can descend on an individual who is a shirish of the neshama of Yehuda, an emanation, and he can receive the yechida. In every generation, you have those two, and there's only two, no duplicates. There are overlaps. For instance, Moshe Rabbeinu was a shirish of the Mashiach ben Yosef, and he was even more than that. He was actually the Mashiach, the first Mashiach, as I pointed out last year. The next Mashiach ben Yosef was Yoshua. But one was a Rebbe and the other was a Talmud. So there's an overlap. But they're never contemporary. That's the way it goes. So therefore, that's what's meant by Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben Yehuda. That in Yehuda and Yosef was the major trunk, the Shirish. And that Shirish could makabel the Yechida. And then in all the generations, each one emanated or gave rise to different Shrushim that emanated from them. And each one of these becomes an individual that can also receive the Yechida. And each one of these individuals goes down into the generations. There is one in each generation with an overlap, but never contemporary. Therefore, whenever Klal Yisrael is Roy, the Mashiach ben Yosef and the Mashiach ben David can appear, because there's always somebody who can be the Keli of that Yechida. Now, understand now is, so we have a very fundamental understanding on a ruchnistic plane, and like I say, later on we'll understand how it manifests itself in the physical reality of history, but first we have to go this way. Remember, there are two shroshim, two stocks, two lands, as I use the example. That's the shirish of Ben Yosef and Ben David. Either one received Yechida, then they give rise to little shroshim, which itself is an neshama. Okay, and they pop out at different points in every generation, and any one of these individuals also can become the Mashiach. Okay, so therefore you have the Mashiach ben Yehuda, Mashiach ben Yosef. Mashiach ben Yosef means the Mashiach, that individual who receives the Yechida, and he's a Ben Yosef. It means he literally comes right out of Yosef, that land. And Mashiach ben Yehuda, he literally comes right out of Yehuda, and he's the Mashiach. Means he has the Nishmas Mashiach, which is Yechida. The Shroshim are not the Nishmas Mashiach. Remember, it's Yechida. The Shroshim are the Keli, or those Neshamas that can receive it. Now, why is it we call Mashiach ben Yosef Mashiach ben Yosef, and we call Mashiach ben Yehuda Mashiach ben David? What happened? I was the fundamental switch. And Yehuda was the Mashiach ben Yehuda. He was a Shirish. So what happened as a result? The answer is that Yehuda lost it. He lost it. Why? Because it says, I pointed out what happened by Yosef, that he's, because of him, he sold Yosef to Mitzrayim. He's the one who gave the Eitzah to sell Joseph to Egypt, correct? So the brothers came back to him and they told him, had you told us to return Yosef to his father, our father, we would have done it. So he was, what he did is, what did he do, Yehuda? Yehuda deposed Yosef from his kingdom, and he sent him into slavery or sent him into prison to Egypt. That was a murdichet that Yehuda did. And where do we see that in the Torah? Because the Torah says, Vayered Yehuda me'eis echov. Right after the bechira of Yosef, right after he sold it, that's when the Ma'aseh of Tamar begins, the whole Ma'aseh of Tamar. So he lost his sons. It's midah keneged midah. Why both of his sons died and so on. Because he caused his father to lose Yosef, and therefore he lost his sons also. But in any case, and that's the whole mice of Yehuda and Tamar. But in any case, it says Vayered Yehuda me'eis echok Chazal darshan that Yerida hoyiseloi. He was Yered. Yehuda used to be the manig. He was the leader of his brothers, and he lost it. Vayered Yehuda, and Yehuda descended from his brothers. What did he descend? Over Leham Malchus. He lost his kingdom. Therefore, Yehuda used to be the Shurish. And Dovid HaMelech would have been Mashiach ben Yehuda. Because Yehuda would have been the land, the Shirish, and Dovid would have been the Shirish Prati that emanates from Yehuda. Instead, what happened was that the Malchus was taken away from Yehuda, so Dovid HaMelech was both. Dovid HaMelech got the original land that Yehuda had, besides the fact that he was also an Neshama, which was an emanation of that Shirish. So he was both. He was the Av, the patriarch, the land, and he was also the Ben, the Shirish that emanates from the original Shirish Klali. So therefore, since you're only called a Ben Yosef if you emanate from the stock, the land, the Shirish HaKloli. So since Yosef still maintains his Shirish, so therefore every Mashiach in three old generations is called the Mashiach Ben Yosef. But Yehuda no longer has that Shirish. It was given to David. So therefore you call the person that's called Mashiach Ben David. Because he is now the land, and he's also the Ben. He's also the Shirish of that Shirish. He really had both in him. But it was taken away from Yehuda and it was given to David HaMelech. That's why we now call him Mashiach Ben David, not Mashiach Ben Yehuda. But originally started from Yehuda. So now we have that kind of understanding. Now, therefore, in every generation, we see that there's always two individuals. One individual is called the Shirish of the Mashiach Ben Yosef, again, because he's a Shirish, of the possibility of being the Mashiach Ben Yosef. And the other one is called the Shirish of the Mashiach Ben David. He is an individual who has the possibility of being the Mashiach Ben David. Now, I want to mention also, besides these two main individuals, there are other individuals who are mitzutzim, sparks. They're not shroshim, because that's only two, but there are people who can be sparks. And it seems interesting that a person can actually be zercha to be a nitzitz.
A what?
A nitzitz is a spark. Means they're not the original sherish, the land. They're not the tree, which is the sherish prati, which is still the sherish. But they're a spark. They're like a spark from a spark in that sense. There are people that if they're zercha, if they do the work of the Mashiachim, which I'll get into, what the Mashiachim do in physical reality, then they can actually be zeuchah to be a nitzitz of the Mashiach Ben Yosef or Ben David. It's actually given to them, that chelik, of a spark of the shirish of the shirish. That's an important idea to understand. Now, the next important idea is to understand is that every shirish, no matter who they are, somehow is involved in the work of the Mashiach Ben Yosef or the Mashiach Ben David. In other words, any individual, whether you were the original stock, the land, whether you were the shirish, which is the shirish prati, which is each individual spread out throughout the generations, or if you even were a nitzitz, and thereby your zecha, somehow they're all involved in the work that the Mashiachim have to do. Because that's the purpose of those shroshim, is to be involved in the work that the Mashiachim have to do. And I had mentioned, Mashiach ben Yosef's job is to remove the kilkul of Adam Rishon, and the Mashiach ben David's job is to remove the chassan of the original chassan of the Bria. And I will mention how this physically manifests itself. Right now we're on a ruchni stiga level, which is very important to understand fundamentally. Now, the question is, actually we can deal with it now, what does that mean? Mashiach ben Yosef, what does he generally do? And what does the Mashiach ben David, what does he generally do as people? Okay, now we're beginning to enter the world of physical reality, of history, of individuals who have these shroshim. What do they do? Well, if you'll notice, the major tafkid or function of the Mashiach ben Yosef is to fight evil. That's why Yosef went into Egypt. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu went into Egypt in the sense that he was born and grew up in Paro's house. That's why the other Yerovam, which I'll mention later on, was forced to flee to Egypt because of Shlomo HaMelech, which I'll mention later on. And so on. That's why, well, Rabbi Akiva, who was a Ben Gerim, right? Rabbi Akiva was Ben Gerim. That's why he was born from Gerim. The idea of the Mashiach ben Yosef is that somehow they're always forced into the Tumah, into the Klipas, which is called. They're always forced to enter those kind of Klipas and fight those Klipas and eventually subjugate it. Therefore, Yosef went into Egypt, he subjugated it, and he became its Grand Vizier. He became the Sheni LeMelech. Moshe Rabbeinu was born in Paro's house, and in the end he destroyed Paro's house. You find that goes on. Now, that's the first major idea of the Mashiach ben Yosef, is this entrance into Klipas. The second major idea of the Mashiach ben Yosef is the idea that the Mashiach ben Yosef is always associated with a Gili of Terah. Because he's the one who has the Megala, the All Rishon, that first light, or the Chochmah, which was hidden from the Bria. And we know what that Chochmah is, that's Yom Echad. That the Ribono Shel Olam is Nesgala throughout the entire Bria, literally, where you see everything that's emanating from the Ribono Shel Olam. So those are the two main ideas of Mashiach Ben Yosef. The idea of entering Tumah to Masaken, or to remove Ra, because the Memai said that he has to externalize evil from the physical reality in which it entered as a result of Adam. And also he has to Megala the Torah. Now you'll notice again, I'll give you examples. Now, Mashiach Ben David, his purpose is the executor. He's an executor, he's the administrator. Mashiach Ben David is a melech in the sense that he actually reigns over Klai Yisrael. That's why he has royalty. He makes sure that Klai Yisrael does the job that the Mashiach Ben Yosef keeps telling them. In other words, again, you always go back to the same idea. Mashiach Ben Yosef is the one who removes the kilkel, removes the evil, he externalizes it, which means he must go into the evil and fight it and megala the truth. And then Mashiach Ben David removes the chesaron, which means to bring Klai Yisrael back to the Ribono Shel Olam. And that is the administrator. He makes sure that Klai Yisrael now observe the Torah. That's why you find the Chizkiyo, he hung a sword in every base medrash, and he said, if you don't learn Torah, this goes through you. And therefore, as a result of Chizkiyo's actions, they didn't find a child or a woman that wasn't bokeh in Tumah v'Taharah throughout the entire land of Eretz Yisrael. Shtos before how much Torah. But Chizkiyo's job was to do that because he was the Mashiach Ben David, and he truly taka was. He almost was Mashiach Ben David. There was one man, the Omen Sanhedrin, that says he is the Mashiach Ben David. But anyway, we disagree, right? We disagree. But in any case, so therefore you have the two roles. One is the one who fights Ra and is Megala, the Torah, the All Rishon. And the second one is the executor, the administrator, the president, who actually makes sure that the administrative branch, or the executive branch of government in that sense, that makes sure that Klai Yisrael observes that which was revealed. Now, to give examples, Mashiach Ben Yosef, for instance, Moshe Rabbeinu, or Yosef HaTzadik, who literally entered Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu, who I mentioned, was the Mashiach, therefore he not only entered Egypt in the sense that he was born on the Paroi, but he also revealed the Torah, right? Mamash, he was Megala the Torah, which should have been of a different form than what we now have, as I had mentioned in the previous Shurim. Also, the individuals were, the others were also the Mashiachim. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Each one was a shirish of the Mashiach Ben Yosef. And again, they had the same idea to go into the world and to make it known to the world, the one God. And that's exactly what all the others did. Yerovam was again a Mashiach Ben Yosef. Again, he also entered into Egypt. And he also had Shaychas to the All Rishon, which I'll get to next week when we speak about the whole idea of what happened by Yerovam. The next one we find was Rabbi Shimon by Rabbi Akiva, who was a shirish of the Mashiach Ben Yosef, Rabbi Akiva, as I will get to later on. And what was Rabbi Akiva famous for? The Chochmah. Even Moshe Rabbeinu was envious of the Chochmah of Rabbi Akiva, as the Medrash says, which I will mention later on. Again, the Gilui of Chochmah. And Rabbi Akiva was again in Tumah in because of the idea that he descended from Gerim. We'll understand that later on much better. You also have the Ari, as the generations go on, the Ari who was Megala, the whole Kabbalah in that sense, the essence of Kabbalah. And the last Mashiachim, which I know about, which is written, is the Gro, the Vilna Gaon was a Mashiach, the Mashiach Ben Yosef, and also Rabbi Moshe Chaim Tzatzai. Now, in terms of Mashiach Ben David, for the generations, you have, of course, Yehuda, who was a Manik, right? And he lost that. Dovar HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech, Rechavim, they all did what Malchus Yehuda has to do, and that is to make sure that Klai Yisrael does that job which is revealed in that sense by the Mashiach Ben Yosef. Now we begin to get, so you see actually the people who were these Shroshim actually were doing that kind of function, that kind of job. Now what's next important to understand is that the Mashiach Ben Yosef does not necessarily have to be of the tribe of Joseph, Yosef. Obviously, because you have these people who are different, they don't descend from Yosef, Moshe Rabbeinu was a Levi. Aaron HaKohen was also two halakim, both Mashiach ben Yosef, which tells you something about the Gula. But in any case, they were Levim. They were not. And yet they were Mashiach ben Yosefs. Both of them. One became the Kahuna. But in any case, the Mashiach ben Yosef, the Shirish, which goes into every individual through the generations, does not relate through Yosef through birth necessarily. It relates in terms of spirituality, in terms of the neshama that they get. It's a shirish of the shirish itself, of the Mashiach ben Yosef. And the reason why is that the major task of the Mashiach ben Yosef, as I said, is to combat Ra, somehow fight with it. And the second idea is to Megala Torah in a different form, always a different kind of chiddush. And that does not take inheritance in the sense that you don't have to be descendant from an individual to do that. It's the task that makes the Mashiach ben Yosef. By Mashiach ben David, you must be from Ben David. You must be from David HaMelech. You must be a descendant literally from David HaMelech. Why? Because David HaMelech is Malchus, the individual who reigns, royalty. Royalty is inherited, it's not given. In other words, the Mashiach ben David must truly descend from David HaMelech. That's the only way it works. Because, as I say, the purpose of Mashiach ben David is administration, to be the executive, which is royalty, kingship. And kingship is always inherited, just like you find by all the nations on earth. In order to be a king, your father has to be a king before you, and so on and so forth. Unless somehow you started the line itself, the dynasty and so on. But kingship, administration, the executive branch always has to be descended in true royalty, because that's the major task of the Mashiach ben David. Mashiach ben Yosef is descended als shirish, als ruchnistige descendant, and not as a result of the fact that he is descended. Therefore, you find Mashiach ben Yosefs who may be from Yosef or Ephraim, like Yeshua was from Ephraim, right? Yerobim was from Ephraim, and so on. But there are many of them that were not at all descended from Ephraim or Yosef. Just like you find also by Kumuna, the priesthood. Priesthood can only be inherited. You can't become a Kohen. Kohuna or priesthood, or actually doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, can only be inherited. Either you're from Aaron HaKohen or you're not a Kohen. That's the end of it. The only one who was given Kohuna, apparently, even though he was not from Aaron HaKohen, is Pinchas. Pinchas was alive at the same time that Aaron was made a Kohen. Therefore, he really wasn't supposed to be a Kohen, even though they were all descended from Aaron, but Pinchas was born after Aaron was given the Kohuna. So therefore, it would be that only anybody who was born from Aaron afterwards would become a Kohen. But he was given the Kohuna because of what he did in Parshas Pinchas. So Rebbe Hashem gave him the Kohuna also. So therefore, he's also a Kohen. But normally, of course, the rule is that you have to be born a Kohen, because again, it's to administer to the Rebbe Hashem in that sense. Therefore, you cannot inherit. You must inherit it. You cannot have the neshama of Kohuna and therefore become a Kohen. It's the same idea. Now, until now, what have we discussed? We went into the ideas of that there are five halakim of the neshama, the idea of what the yechida is, the importance, the idea that there are two different shrashim, and they give rise to many different mini shrashim which are protim, and that on all of these, the yechida can descend. We went into the ideas of the functions of the Mashiach ben Yosef, the Mashiach ben David, and also as it is illustrated by the people who tackle war these individuals, and also the idea that these Mashiachim, these shrashim I should say, by Ben Yosef it doesn't have to be inherited, whereas by Yehuda or by Ben David it must be inherited. Now, the next idea then is, who is the Mashiach? We now understand who can be the Mashiach. He's got to be a shirish in some way. But who is the Mashiach? And the answer to that is that those two shrashim that are mesakein the kilkul and the chasarn, they become the Mashiach. That's the way it works. those Shrushim who finished the job of what the Shrushim were all about, they receive the Yechida. And when they receive the Yechida, then they become the Mashiach. They receive what's called the Nishmas Mashiach, and therefore they then can do the job, of course, of beginning Yemos Mashiach. That's the ones who receive the Nishmas Mashiach or the Yechida. It's those people who actually complete the Tikkun that all the Shrushim had to do. They finish the Tikkun, therefore they can Makabal the Yechida. Now, this so far gives us the complete understanding of what the Mashiach is on a spiritual level and what happens. And all of this is very necessary in order to understand the next part I want to go into, which is the whole idea of Yerovam, Shlomo Melech, Dovr HaMelech, Yerovam and Rechavam. What happened at that point? Because that was the next attempt of the Rebbeinu Shlom to bring Klai Yisrael back to the Yemos HaMashiach. And I'd mentioned very quickly why. That at that point in time, you had what? All Klai Yisrael was in the land of Israel, if you recall. Israel had its full borders, right? Beis David, Malchus Beis David was established. All the nations of the world were subjugated under Shlomo HaMelech, right? And you had a Beis HaMikdash. Everything was ready. There was only one individual missing, and that's the Mashiach ben Yosef. And that becomes a subject of the next discussion that we have in terms of what happened. That was the next attempt after Matan Torah and the whole failure at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu to bring the Mashiach. That was the next attempt. And this I will discuss, soon after.